Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and today, faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, if we contemplate faithfulness, what a faithful God you are, Lord, to all your people, to all your work, to all your will and plan. That we, Lord, sometimes, often really fail in our trust, especially until we know you. But Lord, you never do. You're always faithful and true. Your word is always true. And I pray, Lord, that the manifestation of faithfulness will now be on our minds today as a great provision by your Spirit to those who are born again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a saying, the greatest ability is dependability. The greatest ability is dependability. Without dependability, what does it matter how able you are? If you can't be depended upon. I remember when the church was built, we had the bricklayers. Remember the bricklayers that came? I learned that bricklayers lay really well from Wednesday until Friday. But then they have the weekend. And then Monday and Tuesday, they're sobering back up. So then it's back up on Wednesday. So, you know, that's not real dependable, although they got the job done. But it doesn't matter what skill you have if you're not dependable, if you can't be trusted in it. It doesn't matter what your potential is if today you can't be counted on. A lot of people consider themselves to have a great potential, but you can't throw that into the future. You've got to be dependable now. What good are marriage vows if either party cannot be sure of keeping them? If they're not dependable to vows, then they're not really vows. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loves at all times. And in that verse, then it says that a brother is born for adversity. So even in adversity, and especially in adversity, a friend is there for you. That's dependability. That's faithfulness. We're told to check our fire extinguishers from time to time in our house. If you have one, you're supposed to have one. Thing about a fire extinguisher is it's not necessarily dependable. Well, what happens to them? They lose their charge. They got a little gauge on them. It says it's in the green or it's not. And so you get a fire and you go and you point it at the fire, and if it's not dependable, it doesn't affect the fire. So a friend, even in adversity, is always ready. You can't count on circumstances loving you at all times. There's a thing called Monday morning. It's coming tomorrow. Monday morning is the first day of the work week for many people. And on that day, the Department of Circumstances gets together and they choose all the adverse circumstances to throw at you from the very start of Monday. And you can't depend on circumstances loving you, being for you, because they often won't be. You can't count on the government loving you all the time, trusting in their beneficial actions toward you. It's been a lot better lately, but you can't depend on that for all time. When you most need someone to lean on, you look for someone faithful. A dog is usually a faithful companion. We have cats. You can walk into a room, a cat will ignore you sometimes. Sometimes they'll come to you. A dog, I think, just about always does that, it seems. Although we don't have a dog, but when I had a dog, that's what happened. So you need someone faithful. You don't buy a car that starts 50% of the time. You don't want a gun that shoots forward 30% of the time, and the rest of it is all the 360 around somewhere else. You want it dependable, always shooting straight. If your pen gets blotchy, well, you don't put up with that, you throw it away. And the Spirit has made Christians to bear godly fruit. And the Lord expects that. It's not automatic, but it's expected. It's an application of our birth in Christ, the new birth by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that we are enabled to bear fruit, and it is expected that we will from what God has equipped us to do. Now, the backdrop of most efforts to be better people is the power of people. The world believes that if you pass another law or regulation, you'll make better people. You don't make better people that way. You just get in their way more. The things that are targeted in the world for change are external. Doing something on the outside. The heart, which is the source of all human deeds, is left untouched. We can't touch that. We don't have the power to transform a wicked and deceitful heart. The world throws money at things. Education, they throw money at. Government things, throw money at it. Doesn't fix anything to throw money at a thing that's got a systemic problem. Therefore, all sinners can do is try to change the outside. Now, I'm not a farmer. Mike's expert on this. If I have a plum tree, Mike, can I change it into an apple tree? It's going to probably be a plum tree. If you plant an apple tree, it'll be an apple tree. The watermelon tree, you got to have watermelons off of it. Sinners can't change that. And so all they do is things that are really nothing much but outside. And we're also faced with the reality that sinners are satisfied if they clean just the outside. That was Jesus condemning the Pharisees. Matthew 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside, they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." So the Pharisees got a new suit. They got an outward appearance, a veneer of righteousness. But inside, it was filthy. And he said, verse 26, "Then you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." That is a biblical, spiritual reality. You're good on the outside only by becoming good on the inside. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Formalism is a practice many churches have of just doing formal things. Israel went through that, just do the sacrifices, no heart in it. God rejected it. Just look like you're doing good, but inside was still bad. God looks on the inside. God looks at the heart. And we clean the outside. We don't do a very good job, and it doesn't last very long. The Spirit of God cleans the inside. That's what we're dealing with here with the fruit of the Spirit. Our insides have been changed. Our heart has been changed. So let's look, first of all, at the place of faithfulness. Now, this is the sixth, or the seventh, of the fruit of the Spirit. We've seen six. Love. I put the opposite there on your outline to see the contrast. We've been given love. The opposite is hate. You see the world the world's hatred we often marvel at, but that's a product of the deeds of the flesh. Joy, the opposite of that is depression, and most people would rather be depressed than to turn to Christ. They'd rather hold on to their sins and the depression from it than to be saved. Peace, the opposite of that is unrest. To have peace in our hearts, to know why we were made, to be accepted in the beloved. To have rest, unrest is the opposite. Patience, impatient and testy, is the opposite of that. Kindness, given by the Spirit of God. Harshness would be the opposite. Goodness, meanness would be the opposite. Like when I, as a kid, Mom would always get pecans, and we'd crack them with a nutcracker. I think you might say pecans down here, but they're pecans across the border. And sometimes you'd get that pecan out of that thing, and you'd eat it, and you got a part of the shell. Boy, doesn't that taste good. Mixed in with all that. That would not be good. Goodness is pure, beneficial for us. These particular Christian traits refer to how we treat others. That's the focus of them. Love, joy, and peace form the good soil. The rest are positive effects upon others. We affect others with godly grace. The world doesn't know it, but it really would want everybody to be a Christian, because Christians act better. Christians act sweeter. Christians have a capacity to come in the aid of a person, to care about a person that is given to us by the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, the world does not have that. And those that do have it, by being made in the image of God, can't depend upon it in all cases. As I said before, as Antichrist comes, he'll scare that out of people. This is getting the log out of our eye. Remember that parable Jesus said, you know, judge not that you be not judged. He was talking about improper judgment. He said, get the log out of your eye, and then you can move the splinter out of another person's eye. So getting the log out of your eye is what the Spirit of God has done in giving us the fruit of the Spirit. We're able then to help others in truth. So faithfulness speaks to the durability of these good graces. Church members, I'm talking about just church members, not necessarily Christians, but church members don't always endure. Well, it's pretty typical to come a few weeks, a few months, and they're gone. They visit, go along, and then they're gone. There are people at church hall. They're there for a while, and then they're gone. They have no endurance, because they don't have faithfulness. And that is from the Spirit of God. And if they're unsaved, they just don't have it. And they put on a show for a little while. They don't. Durability, faithfulness, doesn't just start, run for a while, and then grind to a halt. That's what many churchgoers do. They're not dependent on the day of the week or some other circumstance. A good fruit tree bears its fruit in season. And Christian fruit for the Christian is always in season. God always wants to see us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that. We're always supposed to do that. This is our new life in Christ. Fatback is really never a bad time for that, is there? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, February, March, whenever. Christian fruit, always in season. Secondly, the core of faithfulness. Faithfulness essentially has two areas of emphasis in the Bible. One is a conviction of something being true and believing in it. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's basic faith in creation and the existence of God. When a person says, I don't believe the world was created and I don't believe in God, they do not have the conviction of truth. They're in unbelief. So it breeds trust and holy fervor in the Lord to know the truth, to embrace the truth. You embrace the truth and then you live the truth. Now, I've programmed computers in my life. The process of programming goes like this. You program, you make the code, you make the list, you get it to a point where you think, okay, I can try and see if it works now. But you never tried until you have a feeling, a sense that it's ready. And by the way, it's never ready when you think it is. But you have a confidence then. Then you will launch the program. So living in this world, if you know God is true and you know He made us, well then you cast your life upon Him. That's logical. It's the conviction that God exists, that He's the Lord. And our saving trust and faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation comes from that fact that we know He's the Savior. These people who say, yeah, they can go to heaven another way, they have no conviction of the truth. They have conviction in other areas that are not true. The second, and this is where it comes into the fruit of the Spirit, it means fidelity. The character of one who can be relied on. Faithfulness means that you can be relied on to do the right thing, to do according to the will of God. A Christian can be relied on by others to be Christian. Now, you can rely on non-Christians to be non-Christian, pretty much. Again, they may act according to the image of God in them and not be awful, but Christians, you expect to be Christian. Now, if any of you go out tomorrow, rob a bank, I'm going to say, no, not that. You got the wrong person. But a Christian is expected to be Christian. Even the world can rely on us to speak and live the truth. The world expects us to be Christian. And we're to especially be dependable in the body of Christ. I hope this DEI stuff is coming to an end. All that was is, you know, you don't need to be anything inside. You're judged on what's outside. You know, your immoralities, your skin color, your historical situation. And it makes for terrible. You would never say, I don't want a good doctor. I don't want one that's a certain color. You want a good doctor. So, I don't care. I want somebody that fixes me. I don't care if they're purple. Maybe purple would be better. So, we have fidelity to the body of Christ. When we come together as a family, saved by God, given the fruit of the Spirit, we should be faithful to one another, whatever we do. A lack of faithfulness is a strong indicator of a person's true condition before God. If you do not have faithfulness, your salvation is in doubt. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11 is a trustworthy statement, for if we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Now, the part there that I would point out is that if we deny Him, he also will deny us. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you never attained it. And the proof of that is you deny God. You deny faithfulness. And we know we're Christians, according to John 13, verse 34, we know we're Christians by our love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So I would, you know, work that backwards. If you don't have love for one another, then people know you're not the disciples of Christ. A lot of people who claim it by proclamation who don't live it out, and it's an indicator of not being saved. Faithfulness looks to other people and is faithful to be good for them, true to their word, true to what they need, someone you can rely upon. So finally, being faithful. It really gets down to that. We are given the fruit of the Spirit so that we will manifest that fruit. Christian fruit, God's commands, is that we focus on others. Mark 10, verse 42, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I went to a conference one time. The guy said, you know, Jesus would not hold any leadership conferences. He would only hold servant conferences, because the servant is really the focal point. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So it's about others. That's all in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You see, all of these things are related to the bond of the body, the unity in the body, that we've been given that. It helps others outside the body of Christ, but this is our character, and it glues us together and lifts us up and supports us. And many do not consider faithfulness because they only consider themselves. To many people who are connected to churches, faithfulness is an option. Faithfulness starts with them. When will they go to church? When they feel like, when it's convenient for them. When will they serve? Well, when they get around to serving, if they ever do. They don't look at it as faithfulness in action. It's an option. It's not even thought about. People go, you know, when I came here, there was a group of people that were connected to the church. They aren't here now. They felt like the church should focus on them. Find out what's wrong with them. If they weren't there for an hour, find out where they are. It only went one way. It was one side. It was that outwardly to them. They were the center of the world. They didn't consider faithfulness. They considered selfishness. They considered, you know, their own condition. They weren't faithful. They expected other people to be faithful. This is pretty common. And it shows a real problem in a person's spirit. We're called to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. You see, it starts with love, joy, peace, patience. You see, and then serve one another. This is the rest of the fruit. We're to consider others better than ourselves. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And this is where much faithfulness fails is that people are not concerned about others. We must understand that the body depends on each part. If your body is in good shape, the body is concerned about the whole. Your body is not concerned about it, each part. Sometimes your shoulder hurts, but your shoulder really doesn't want to be that way. I've seen interviews with shoulders, and they pretty much say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm holding up the body. I hate that that's the case. A knee, oh, knees. I've seen videos of knees ashamed because they're holding up the body. They can't walk. I'm sorry, I want to be better. The church is a body. Each individual part. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. One of the things you hear a lot of times from people who are disobedient to Christ, who have a wrong concept of what it means to be a Christian, is that they're only hurting themselves if they detach from the body. If they're unfaithful to the body, they're only hurting themselves. No, they're only hurting the whole body. If they were truly part of the body of Christ, they would want to be beneficial, active, whole, healthy, and they would be engaged in the body. Oh, don't cry me a river. These people that just think of themselves and talk about how they want to help every people. Do the basics. Faithfulness belongs in church. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Hebrews especially were under the gun to, you know, turn back on Christ. And because, you know, that they were the biggest, you know, the most religious people, had the most, knowledge of truth, and yet the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, they really tripped on that. So they were to encourage each other and keep manifesting this faithful spirit to direct us to Christ and not turn back, which would be unfaithful, and lead people astray. We're to be faithful in body life. Part of our faithfulness is our interaction with others. As you see in that, those verses in Hebrews 10, to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and not forsaking our assembling together. Active and engaged. A teenager has a room. It turns into a cave. I had one of those. When I was a teenager, I had a little, probably a 9-inch black and white TV. I mean, only the best back then. And get back there and in my bedroom, and it was in the farthest reaches of the house. And I don't know what I watched. Watch TV or just, you know. Hang out in your room. Hang out in your cave. I'd show up for supper. But, you know, it was some isolation there for a while. Well, I got over that. Your families are coming together. So faithfulness in gathering together, faithfulness in stimulating one another's love and good deeds. Most church members have to be dragged to a Bible study, to a Sunday morning. You have to be dragged. To do the basics, what's in it for me? You got to drag them. One thing that was required when I got married was that I didn't have to drag my wife down the aisle, nor she me. There's a willingness and a engagement and faithfulness. And faithfulness doesn't need a big thing to test it. It can be tested by the least things. Luke 16:10, Jesus says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" Little things determine your faithfulness. If you can't do the little things, you can't do the big things. I knew my dad for almost 18 years as a lost man. I was almost 18 when my dad got saved. And he was lost all that time. And he loved, he provided, he worked, but he was not dependable. At times he would drink, and he'd be out late. I guess he partied or something. And it caused much friction and harm to our family. It was the most dreaded thing. But he got saved. When he got saved, he didn't get a brochure telling him how to be better. He didn't get something that said, "Now here's what you used to do, and now here's what you do." And so he had to study that and change all the outward things. It was a change inside. The fruit of the Spirit made him faithful to God and faithful to us. And as a result of that, we had rest in our spirits and rest in our family. And joy in our family. Because God made him faithful, dependable, someone you could rely upon. That's one of the glorious results of God breeding faithfulness in believers. There are many more benefits. And that we, by being faithful, are building up the body of Christ and pleasing our faithful God. Let's pray. Lord, all we have is from you. These wonderful, sweet fruits, traits that we have from the Spirit of God. But we could never manufacture those. But Lord, you have done so by your Spirit. What a folly it is that people think that they can just decide to they'll be a Christian on their own grounds and own belief, their own decision, and then all these things will come. Lord, it comes from you by being born of God. And I pray, Lord, we as a church together and as Christians in this world will show the fruit of faithfulness that we have from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.